This is the Yukon Kaya Biographical Sketch Project, and today I'm talking with Bertha and Jonathan Moses. It's the 19th of May, 1984, and this is Take 5. We're in Fairbanks at the Tanenaw Chief's Patient Hostel. And I think we might pick up, if it's all right with you, Jonathan. We were doing that year-round, as I recall, yesterday, and we got as far as January.
Yes. Okay, you know, I think we left off from the New Year's potlatch,
that's what I was
telling about yesterday. The New Year's potlatch, I tell you all about it yesterday. After New Year, then we all have to move back to camp again, our fall camp. It's a winter camp now, so we have to go back to our camp. And what men do is, in the camp, we trap and hunt every day, all that time, through January, February, March, and April. We hunt every day to try to get something to eat for every day. Sometimes there's a lot of food, sometimes there's not too much food all that time for our family.
Mm-hmm.
Like there always be about 3 or 4 families go together in a hunting, stay one camp,
mm-hmm.
We're out of town. Somebody gets something almost all the time. After we got married, that it was kind of easy because I started going with people where there was a lot of fish in the summer,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of caribou in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
The caribou migrate through
mm-hmm.
in October. They're going south, and by that time we get few caribou. Sometimes there's caribou up Alatna. They stay there all winter before they go back
mm-hmm.
north again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hunt every day almost, you know, trapping. Never catch anything much, you know, but once in a while we catch marten or whatever there's around, you know.
Beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Beaver trapping is after New Year.
Yeah, beaver trapping starts from February them days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I forget what.
February 1.
Yeah, first of February to
End of March,
2 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we get 20 beaver a limit to a person.
Mm-hmm.
I would try to get my 20 and try to get 20 for Bertha, you know.
So mm-hmm.
Because she's the one work on it at home.
Mm-hmm.
All I do is if I catch anything, I skin it. And she stretch it and clean it and dry it.
Mm-hmm.
While she's working on the kit same time every day.
Mm-hmm.
February, March. March, then we start putting meat away for the spring mix.
Mm-hmm.
If we get any caribou, we leave it with skin so it wouldn't dry up on top with that warm wind or anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's for spring camp mix.
Mm-hmm. Let me stop you just a second and ask a couple questions. You were saying that you hunted and that there were caribou around the Alatna. Did the place you camped in January and February, was that up on the Alatna?
Yeah, that was on the Alatna. That was up Sheok. They call it Sheok.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's up Alatna.
Uh-huh.
There's one house there, but the owner, Jim Edward, used to be, him and his family used to live in that house. And us, we had no house, but we stay in the tent
uh-huh.
outside the house.
Uh-huh.
10 by 12. Bertha fixed it so good for that cold weather in February.
Mm-hmm.
We have caribou skin around it up to kind of keep the place warm. And it was good. We get so used to it, I guess. And it was not cold for our kids, even for
mm-hmm.
the small ones.
Mm-hmm. What did you hunt? You were saying caribou. What else did you hunt?
It was mostly caribou
mm-hmm.
and trapping beavers sometimes
mm-hmm.
every
mm-hmm.
day.
And you were also talking about preserving the caribou. How did you do that? Did you put it in your cache or?
No, we always covered up with snow outside our camp, just right in our camp, you know.
Sure.
Keep keep it covered so it don't get dried up, you know, mm-hmm. get that wind, everything and dried at the top. Mm-hmm. So we leave it with skin, you know, we cut the head off and the four legs.
Mm.
So that's the we keep it for the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever we have spring camp, it's where we, when it's out, we skin it and the women make the dry meat.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So then, in last part of March, then we start moving back to town, going back to Ellicott. This is for getting ready for the spring next. When we get back to Ellicott, then everybody get together again for about a week or maybe a week and a half in April.
Mm-hmm.
Same time while we're there, as soon as we get to Ellicott, first of April, we dig our boat out. And it's covered with snow, you know, around town. Dig it out and let it dry a little with that wind. Warm one, you know,
mm-hmm.
and put it on 2 Yukon sled, get it ready to haul to our spring camp. We have spring camp different place now from Alaska, and we'll move out to Canoe Flat mm. for spring camp.
Mm-hmm.
So in April, that week and a half, while men's hauling boat every other day for the whole village, you know. Then we always haul our boat and try help some of the older people sometime. Or they ask us to haul boat for them, then we haul boat for them. There always be people that like to help.
Mm-hmm.
So during that time, they have big get together and have potlatch again.
Mm-hmm.
With all the meat, all the good meat they get from all winter, from January, February, March. They got those good meat and they put it together and have potlatch again for the spring. That's starting the spring now.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, we all go to the spring camp.
You never talk about the dances.
What's that?
Dances in evening.
Oh yeah, the dancing every evening. In April, mm-hmm. before we go back to spring camp, before we all leave the village, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Dance every night, sometimes till 3 or 4 in the morning. We have our little kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Once a little kids, and they would be sleeping in the corner in the hall.
Uh-huh.
And we're dancing uh-huh. all night.
Uh-huh.
Morning, grab our kids and put them back in sleigh. We're staying a lot now then in us.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we have 3 dogs on harness.
Uh-huh.
The dogs wait for us out there, you know, all night where we're dancing.
Uh-huh.
They're in harness. They wait. As soon as the dance is over, we put our little kids back inside cold blanket outdoors and cover them up and haul them home.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It go on and on for us. That whole week sometime. Then everybody gets ready for spring camp again. We go start traveling back to spring camp sometime. It used to be warm in daytime, so we go so far, that's all in daytime.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets too warm, snow gets soft and we have to camp any place. Overnight, when it's cold in morning, when snow crushed, and early in the morning we start again.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we get to our spring camp, we get the snow, then set up tent right in the ground
uh-huh.
for the spring.
Uh-huh.
Then we start hunting again, looking for muskrat houses. Women and all sometimes, the little kids, if somebody stay home with them.
Uh-huh.
The woman squad. Looking for muskrat houses in the snow. Sometimes the muskrat house in the snow melt on them, then you could see it. There used to be a lot of muskrat them days anyway, mm-hmm. so we could what they call muskrat push up today.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I find the name of those muskrat house we call them. It's out in the lake.
Mm-hmm.
There's marsh piled up every all over the place sometimes, and there's a lot of mascara.
Did we get the Koyukon name for those?
Beknelkan.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Beknelkan. And trap mascara. First, I never could get to go out when after we got married because she had to take care of little kids.
Mm-hmm.
What she do was she, after the water open up in the creek, you know, there's a lot of water now. I don't know if we have fishnet, and she have fishnet out sometimes. Or picking cranberries with the little kids, you know, around our camp close by. Then we'd be trapping muskrat, and pretty soon no more ice in the lake, then we start shooting muskrat with canoe. We pack canoes to portage, and paddle around the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And everything goes so far every day. Nighttime we hunt muskrat. Pretty soon May come around, ready to go back to town again. Then we put meat, those muskrat away for, first I would be making dry muskrat meat and whatever ducks. Dry muskrat because we have no freezer, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything would be dry meat and stuff. But now and then we run into when I find different kind ducks, you know, just coming from south. You always get one or two, you know, every
mm-hmm.
other day to
mm-hmm.
get fresh meat.
Mm.
Then around May 10, we always go back to Alakakadak.
No.
June 10.
Mm-hmm.
June 10.
Mm-hmm.
Last part of May, that's when we start down.
Mm-hmm.
You
mean. Yeah, last
talk
part
about when we're traveling down.
Yeah, then when we get to.
You never talk about how we dry the muskrat skins.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Dry the muskrat skins. We have stretchers for muskrat skins.
Mm.
And we have to dry the skins. You know,
how you make the stretcher?
We have to. Block of wood, you know, this little short block of wood, and split them up
mm-hmm.
and kind of chop them with the axe and shape and plane it down
mm-hmm.
and make muskrat stretchers.
Mm-hmm. When you skin the muskrat, do you skin it so the skin stays round?
No,
no.
It's not round.
It's cased.
Yeah, it's tapered, you know, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sharp.
Yeah.
Pointed,
but you don't cut the skin length.
No,
like
no,
at all.
No.
Uh-huh.
It's
yeah.
a beaver, the stone we cut like that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Muskrat
okay.
is different, yeah.
yeah.
It's cased. They
yeah.
call it cased when it's like that fox.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't know all the technical terms, so
yeah.
I'm glad you
uh-huh.
can fill
yeah,
me
so
in.
We'll make those stretchers, and the woman do the drying muskrat skins while we're hunting every day because we hunt all the men hunt all night. We come back to camp sometime then. We sleep all day, the
mm-hmm.
man then run.
Mm-hmm.
Before 3 in the afternoon, the man would get up and go out hunt again for another night. Every night left that all spring.
You mentioned earlier a canoe, traveling on the lakes in a canoe. Was that something that you built also?
Yes.
Did
yes,
you
that
leave
was,
that?
Yeah, that was, we make the frame, you know,
uh-huh.
canoe frame, which is a little black, little board, you know.
No, a
it's
tree.
Long tree we knock down and we split it up and make little.
Make slats. You make slats. You make slats.
Yeah, I don't know the name of those things.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyway, we make it so wide, like 18 inch wide in the widest place and about 16 foot long.
So be real.
Yeah. It's sharp on both ends.
Yeah. It would have to be a little more than 8 or 10 inches wide, wouldn't
no,
it?
No, 18.
Oh, 18. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I understood. 18
mm-hmm.
would be about
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So it's 16 foot long.
Real
you know,
narrow then.
Real
long.
Narrow. Yeah, it's tapered, you know,
uh-huh.
sharp on both ends.
Uh-huh.
And they're so high and put canvas over that.
Ah, okay.
Put canvas over that frame.
Uh-huh.
Then painted somewhere about 2 or 3 coats on it, and paint gets so thick over it, and you can go any place there. It's light. I
sure.
think a canoe used to weigh somewhere around 60 or 70 pounds.
Uh-huh.
it get pretty heavy after a little while, but it was light enough so you could pack it.
Sure.
So far, you know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want?
I was trying to think. There was one other thing that was coming to mind. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask. Before we leave the beaver and the muskrat, are there special ways or anything in particular that you do in terms of how you treat those animals when you catch them?
I never understand.
Let's see if I can explain that better. Are there certain things that you are careful not to do when you catch a muskrat or when you catch a beaver and bring it home and skin it and so on? Are there ways that you treat that animal to show respect for it?
Oh yeah, you have to. There's a lot of superstitions, you know, in India.
Mm-hmm.
That you be really careful with whatever animal you get. When you bring beaver home, with the height and everything, you know, you don't just show it where people walk back and forth. You have to put that whatever you catch off the place where you walk through all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of keep it covered and stuff. Clean place like that's for us now.
Mm-hmm.
Clean place.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was growing up, you have to keep those animal meat, anything. You don't drop anything on the floor. You always keep the food clean and away from where you walk back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other superstitions with it, but I don't know how to explain that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just wondered if there were particular things for those animals that might be different from other animals.
I never understand that.
Okay. Would there be things that you do with a beaver or a muskrat that you wouldn't do with another animal?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Bertha, I understand.
It's a complicated question,
yeah,
I know. And it's hard for me a little bit to think of the best way to ask it, but I think Bertha maybe
understands.
Yeah,
if you were talking my language, it would be easier.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I wish I could.
Yeah, okay. Then what was...
Let's see, you were leaving spring camp, I think.
Yeah, okay. I think I got you with the spring camp where we... First I will tell Sylvie if I leave anything out, you know.
Okay.
I know she knows all about those, but then we started getting ready to go back to Alakaka, to town again.
Mm-hmm.
We call it town, you know,
mm-hmm.
all the time, our village, Alakaka.
Mm-hmm.
We started getting ready about a week before going to leave back down the river. We pulled all our muskrat traps out, bring it back to our camp, and start working on our food,
mm-hmm.
kind of bundled whatever we have, like dry meat, and tie it together and make one little bundle out of them,
mm-hmm.
and muskrat, and dry duck. And by that time, it would be about 1st of June. Everybody get ready one time, the whole camp. There would be about 2 or 3 families, one
mm-hmm.
spring camp.
Mm-hmm.
We'll all get ready, we'll all leave one time. Load up our boat, our kitchen, down Chalatna. That's our favorite spring camp, Chalatna and Wanutna. Either place, started rowing. We go so far behind each other because in springtime we hunt muskrat same time yet. And trying to get fresh meat to eat for that day, for after we put up camp,
mm-hmm.
look for ducks or anything. And sometimes somebody would get black bear, big black bear, together and have little Appalachia again here and there. We keep doing that all the way down. One week after we go through Chalatna, then we get to Canoody River, we call it now. It's Old Man River, really. We start down the it's really fast watering. The canyon would be about 20 some miles through canyon, Old Man River. It's pretty fast water, kind of downhill. You could see it when you're going down in springtime paddling. We run after we go through that canyon. It looks, feels like it just did the water for us from there. We have to row harder down to Kaikuk River. That's another about 30 miles by river from lower in the canyon down to Kaikuk River. Finally, we get to Mount Canoody River. We were on Kaikuk. We feel like we hit the ocean or the river is so wide, long stretches. And we start waiting, not Old Man Creek for fishing for a little while, 2 or 3 days till the water, if the water is low enough to start lining up the river to Alakakut, which is about 12 miles. If water is low enough, then we start lining right away. Our ducks go back to work after she tie up all spring for about almost 1 month. Just go back to work from there. Line all the way up for you, sometime day and a half. Old Man Creek to Alakakut. Then go back to Alakakut again. Start sitting around, wait for fishing. By that time, July would come around. We started waiting for 4th of July. King salmon start running here and there. Whatever there's there. There was not too much king salmon them days because I guess earlier I told the story about there was not too much duck salmon, king salmon them days because of cannery out close to Mount Yukon River. I guess that's what it was. Going on them days. We didn't know about it, but after later on that, we found out there was so much canneries out there. So, 4th of July, you know, I told a story about it already.
So we've come the whole circle,
yeah,
haven't
the whole
we?
Circle, so I think it's a birthish term now.
Okay. Thank you, Johnson. That was excellent, and I think that will be a real useful contribution to the biography. That's really good. Bertha, before we get to the question that we've talked about, there was one other question that occurred to me from the time when you were a girl growing up. I know that in some places, when a girl becomes a woman as a teenager, you know what I mean? There are particular things that happen or things that she may do. Was there anything like that for you?
Yes, they first they tell us to stay in those days when a girl first start having her period, they used to let them stay in the tent, or if it's in the house, there was no bedrooms in those days in the houses. It was just one big room. They used to put a curtain around a corner and let the girls stay there. And then they tell us not to eat fresh food. Fresh animal food, or else nobody will be able to catch them. That was the superstition. Us, we had no mother when I was that age. We didn't have a mother, but there was people around there that tell us what to do, and for a certain time. we're not supposed to eat anything fresh, and even fish and any kind of ducks or anything.
Mm-hmm. So you would eat dry meat or?
Dry, if it's few days old, like fish.
Oh, and, okay.
And years ago, it used to be for 1 year, a girl would be like that. And years ago, when my grandmother was small, they used to let the girl live out of the camp back in the woods for 1 year. But in my day, it changed. We don't have to stay out of the camp. And I think times like that get shorter and shorter, and it just die out. Die out by the time our own girls got to be teenagers. They went to high school, and they didn't have to go through that. I think it was kind of embarrassing for young girls because of all the things they have to do different than people. You know, like you have to follow all that, and then if you make mistake, and there's some old people didn't like that and everything. And
what kinds of restrictions or what kinds of things did a girl have to do at that time? What did you have to do, I guess?
Okay, things is that they don't let young girls eat bear meat and other things is you don't work on the fresh ducks and muskrat and anything in springtime. And you don't, I think in my day it was not for too long because we had to do things and we didn't have no older people around with us all the time. So we just do what we please when we're in camp. And
that's really helpful. That's good. I was interested in that because I've heard other people talk about it a little bit, and I think everybody's experience with it is a little bit different. So I was interested in hearing what happened to you. Maybe we should talk about too this question that you suggested earlier, which I think is a really good one, and that's how you adjusted to married life after you were first married.
Okay, I think it was hard. It was hard to get adjusted to each other. We don't always agree with each other. And before we were married, we're free, like we do anything we want to do. We cook certain way we like to cook, and or not cook at all. If, for me anyway, I didn't have to cook before I got married. I didn't have to cook every meal. My sisters cook for themselves, or we cook, we take turns. And before I left home, my sisters and I, we share all the work. And when I'm on my own, then I have a lot of work that I have to do by myself. I have to wash the dishes and cook, and it's way different. And I was kind of a tomboy where I like to do outdoor work, and I kind of didn't like to do inside of work that much. And, you know, for somebody anyway, and I never think that time. See, I used to do most of the hunting when I was still staying with my dad and my sisters. I was the oldest, and our youngest brother was way too young to hunt, and our oldest brother was already married. He had his own family. So I used to do most of the hunting, ducks and muskrat in springtime. And then when I come, if I get ducks and I come home, my grandma clean it. Then when I got married, I didn't do the hunting. I have to stay home in the camp, and I didn't really feel too happy to clean ducks. Even I should be grateful, but that's true. I'm telling the truth. I don't want to say I just I just jump there and do everything. Yeah. No,
well, I'm really a tomboy too, so I could really sympathize.
I used to have my own team of 3 or 4 dogs in Hollywood. And when I come home, my little sisters would be glad, and they helped me. They helped me all kinds of ways. Then when I got married and I'm alone and I don't have my sisters, and I didn't even have a team anymore, and I was afraid of Johnson's dogs. They were he had a real mean dog. One of them was real mean. All of them were mean to me anyway, the way I felt, and I was afraid of them, and he would tell me to tie his dogs when he come back, and I didn't think, I kind of resent that, because when I was staying with my dad, I come home and my sisters used to help me tie the dogs and all that, and Johnson come home and come in the tent and he want me to tie his dogs, and I'm scared of them. And yet I didn't want to say I'm afraid of them. And another thing was I miss my sisters and brother. When I really miss them when we go different way. We went different direction. Instead of in there where they were staying, and I really miss them. And we never did agree with a lot of things, because I was used to doing things on my own. I was not used to somebody telling me what to do. In those days, I think the man was is the head of the house. You know, he decides all what the family will do. And still today, Johnson decides what we're going to do, where we live, and a lot of things. He's still the boss. If we're home in Alcacket, then he would decide where we'll go and how many days we'll stay and when we'll go back to the village and what we'll do. And if we, that time too, when I was not used to working in on all the, I was not used to just being the head, being the woman in the house. Even we didn't have a mother. We had, there was my grandmother started staying with us too. Sure. There was my grandmother, my 3 younger sisters, and my brother and dad. And dad used to stay away, and just my grandmother, she was really old, and me and the girls. And then all of a sudden, I'm in my own home, and I'm not used to the responsibility. You know what I mean? And yet,
that'd be a big change.
Yeah, and I'm not used to doing things certain time. Like if Johnson is out and he come back, then I have to clean the ducks right away and skin the muskrats, then stretch them before they spoil in the springtime. Or if it's summertime, I have to cook the dog feed almost all spring and all summer and feed the dogs. The same thing over and over, like get up in the morning, cook breakfast, and then we eat. Then Johnson goes someplace. Then I have to get some willow wood and cut it and put the dog pot on and do all the other things all day. And then he would come back and we would feed the dogs. After a while, after we were married for a while, I think I got I'm not afraid to be reluctant to do things. And it got more and more where we get adjusted, and then everything worked out better. I think it took a little bit longer for us to get adjusted, because I was really strong in the way I do things. Mm-hmm. I had my own routine schedule, just like from what I'll do, you know. Mm-hmm. And to that, when we first got married, we didn't have any fishnet. So we had to buy twine, and I have to knit the fishnet. And I was only 18 years old, and I didn't feel, even I did that while I was staying with my dad, but my grandma used to help us. And even she couldn't see very good, she tried to help us. And I feel that I didn't really have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But after I got married, then I have to, because everybody does it. Then you would imagine one, those linen, they call it linen, twine.
Mm-hmm.
It come in 1 pound ball, and that's enough for one fishnet. It's not very long. You have to sit down and knit that 1 whole pound ball into certain stitch, sometimes 6-inch mesh. That's for salmon
uh-huh.
and whitefish. And then you have to knit the little one too. And 3-ply you knit for a little fishnet. And then 4-ply you knit for a bigger net. And it even takes longer to knit a little fishnet. You knit and knit and knit. With you have a square to measure the
mm-hmm.
Stitch,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the needle where you fill that needle up. And
Eliza was doing that the other day while mm-hmm. we were talking. She had her little moose
mm-hmm.
tie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not really a thimble, but finger protector,
mm-hmm.
and she had a roll of nylon twine, and she was filling a needle, so I got to see how to do it.
Yeah, so you know how. Then it takes days. I was slow on that. I know women, some women knit it in a few days, a couple of days I hear long ago, but not me. One week if I did it fast. Then after I knit that twine, then I have to unravel gunny sacks, about 3 gunny sacks. Then you count how many to each strand, like about 12 or 14 to each strand. I mean, each bundle, you put about 14 strands to each part of the gunny sack after
mm-hmm.
you unravel it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you braid it like three, like you braid your hair.
Uh-huh.
You braid, there's 3 gunny sacks. You braid and braid and braid. You know, they're not one length too, they're about a yard and a half long each piece. And you splice and braid until you braid 3 gunny sacks. After you braid it, you stretch it outdoors. Then you rip old jeans and then start making the sinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not used to doing that by myself either. And I think I kind of resent it some days, but I'm glad I did. I'm glad I learned something. After a while, time get a little easier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Then we sew those sinkers, and sometimes Johnson's dad made me the floaters. And most of the time, he used to make me floaters for all my fishnets. I make some too sometimes. Once in a while, Johnson makes them if he's home.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you said rip the jeans, what did you do with the jeans?
Oh, we cut little square pieces. I mean, not really square, oblong pieces, about 3 by 10, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We cut them into 3 by 10 pieces. Then we sew the ends, and we put rocks inside.
Okay.
Long rungs for the sinkers.
Okay.
Now, when we finish the sinkers, we put our gunny sack rope through the one side of the net. After you gather it in one side and the other side, then you sew all that sinkers on one side and turn it around, and you sew all the floaters.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's ready. Mm.
Mm.
Just think how long it takes to do that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then other things was, I have to cook breakfast, I have to cook lunch, I have to cook supper, I have to wash dishes every time after we eat, and I have to wash clothes by hand, and all that. I guess, but then I gradually got used to it. I never think of I should haul wood or anything. I never did haul wood when we first got married to. I never had to. Then after that, every once in a while when Johnson get a moose, then I watch my mother-in-law. We lived with his parents too for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, oh, one more thing is, I didn't know, I couldn't understand Athabascan. I understand words, but I couldn't understand their conversation.
That must have made it hard too.
Yeah. Then I couldn't understand their conversation. I understand words. Then I stayed with his parents in fish camp while Johnson, the first year this is, while Johnson went to where they call Ethiopia to work. It was a mining camp.
Mm.
He went there to work. Then I stayed with his parents. And from the village, we had to move down to the fish camp. And I was still afraid of those dogs. And I remember my uncle get the meanest one and put it in the boat for me, my uncle Frank Tobuk,
mm-hmm.
because that's how afraid I was of that one.
Mm.
Then we took it down. And my father-in-law took him off and tied him. I don't know what I thought I would do if he ever turned loose. Who's going to tie him? I don't know if he did. But I think he did a couple of times that summer. But my friend Lydia Bergman was there, and she's not afraid of dogs. So she used to tie him up too. That's the worst thing, was getting used to Johnson's dogs. I was so scared of them. And I stayed with his parents all summer, that first summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to help them a little bit, like cooking and washing dishes for them, or doing a little bit things, but still I take care of our dogs. I had my own fish net out and cut a little bit of fish.
This might be a good point to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.